going to be from Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. And then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." May the blessings be continue in our heart. And now we are going to have Pastor Dan.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Appreciate it. A hearty good morning to everyone. If you're new, my name is Dan. I'll be here for a few years while we're looking for a pastor to look after the year. We're getting closer to a pastor for our young people and our families, and I'll be here at the pulpit for a few years, and it's been wonderful to serve here. Thank you for coming. If you're new, we have a little time in the kitchen, and if you want to hang around afterwards to have a cup of tea, coffee, and hang out, we want to get to know you. There's quite a history at this church, and it's always nice to see Pastor Stops and his wife ministering here in music as well as in his presence. And Pastor Stops, he's the handsome white-haired guy over there, did all the heavy lifting for 36 years so that we could be in this gorgeous place and enjoy ministry. And I'm just grateful for you, my friend. And thank you to your dear wife who plays in this now 11-piece band. Thanks, Ruth, for all you've done. I hear about your Bible study group with women all the time. And there's pretty rare to have a couple hundred people plus in a Bible study group that you've influenced over the years. Thank you. And carry on with your ministry. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I love David. We will rejoice. God's made today, and as an act of the will, we will rejoice in him. Not in our circumstances, not in what's going on in international politics and warfare, but we rejoice in him, Jesus our Lord, who gathers his disciples together just after his resurrection, and he gives them some instructions. And the instructions are, who's in charge? What do you want us to do? And it's mission impossible today. How are we going to do that? And something happened yesterday that was just delightful as we gathered. There's girls up in the balcony who were painting faces for little kids, and there was barbecue and food and lots of energy. And it would take me all day to thank the people who not only make Sunday morning happen, but who made our kickoff happen. But there is an image. There is an image I want to show you that basically sums up why we do what we do and how beautiful that is. Thanks, Kathy. This little girl, in her enthusiasm, was looking at the illusionist, as he calls himself. And I love enthusiasm. And as this guy was doing his thing, the next slide, thanks, she just got crazier and crazier. And I hope that our expression of love for Jesus and love for each other is looking more and more like this. Sometimes you've just got to jump up and smile when the world is difficult, but little children don't think about their enthusiasm. They just pour it out. What a beautiful expression. The Bible says, out of infants, out of the mouths of babes, little kids, you have ordained praise. Keep that image in your mind as you walk today with the Lord, knowing that you can be as excited about him. It might look different for those of us who are a bit more stoic. I understand. But it's just nice to get excited about the Lord. And with an 11-piece band up here, whoo, good stuff. Matthew 28, the 11 disciples. It's interesting. The 11 disciples. People come and people go. We need to understand that. Sometimes people will leave, and thank God they're coming. They came to the mountain where Jesus told them to go. So Jesus said, let's have a little meeting. He's been risen from the dead. They've seen miracles. They've seen lives changed. They've entered into a relationship with Jesus. Everything's new. But they're a little nervous because there's a political world and a religious world that basically hates their guts. So Jesus says, let's have a little huddle here. He gets them together. And I love this, verse 17. When they saw him, they worshipped him. Beautiful Greek word, proskunine. They fell on their face and they worship. A couple ways to worship in the Bible. They fall face down or they look straight up. Humility before our Creator and praise, adoration. Both are always working in our life. And verse 17 also says, when they worshiped, some doubted. Some doubted. They saw the miracles. They were filled with joy. They witnessed the resurrection. But in their gut, some of them said, I still don't know if this is real. Any doubters here? Anybody question the Bible? Question the God of the universe? Have doubts? Welcome. There's a place for doubters. And Jesus comes to Thomas in his doubt. I don't know if Thomas is really doubting or he's just irritated at Peter who keeps telling him what to do and what's going on. We've seen the resurrected Jesus, and Thomas says, you know what? No. Unless I see the prince, unless I see the scars, I'm not going to buy in. And Jesus meets him right there and says, okay, you're there. Scars representing pain that no longer hurts because he's in a resurrected body. And Thomas falls right on his face and says, my Lord and my God. It's Baptism Sunday. Dave's on his way up in a little bit to tell everybody in the room online that Jesus is my Lord and my God. And that's our goal. We front end load that here. You take your time understanding God, understanding who he is. But the goal is one day, with confidence and surety, you would be able to say, yeah. Yeah, life's hard. Things aren't going exactly how I want them to, but Jesus is my Lord and my God in the midst of it all. And he brings the disciples together and he gives them the mission impossible. And he says to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. I love that part of the verse. Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Yay, Jesus, go save the world. But the verse doesn't end there. After he defines who's in charge, all authority in heaven and on earth, under the earth, given to Jesus, then he gives us a directive. But can we talk about authority for a second? I find it very curious that he uses the word authority and not power. Oh yes, Jesus has all power and authority, but there's a difference between power and authority. Who remembers the tank man? You young people won't remember this, but you can look up tank man, Tiananmen Square, and you'll learn some history that'll blow your mind. Young student stands in front of the tank in Tiananmen Square, and the Chinese government is saying to the students who would like to have a little more freedom in their country, no, we have the power, and the authority, but they bring out the power. And the tank lines up, and this man stands there. He's got a little bag, I think. And the tank tries to go around him, and he steps in the way. Very rare in human history to have a government turn its guns on its people. And when you see the YouTube videos, they'll rock your world. Young students saying, we would like to live a different life. And the power comes, and it's coercive. And it forces you to do what you're told. That's a power that is very, very different than the gospel of Jesus. The gospel of Jesus is about a God named Jesus who said, I have all the power and all the authority. I'm equal with God. But it says he did not consider equality with God something to be held on to. He made himself nothing. Taking on the very nature of a servant, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place, gave him the name, the authority that's above every name, that at that name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue confess. Power says, I will make you do what I want you to do against your will or in line with your will, but I will coerce you. Authority is very different. Authority is defined as your will changes on the basis of the authority and the laws of the land. How many of you enjoy driving, I better get this right, on the right-hand side of the road? Stopping at a stop sign. My wife is always upset with me because I sometimes roll through stop signs. And she's saying right now, you don't roll through them, you just drive right through them. The odd red light or what I call a stale yellow, my wife's like, well, it's yellow. You should be stopping. That's authority based on the laws of our land. When that stoplight changes, you stop. When the stop sign's there, you obey it. When the little police officer with their stop sign or go this way, it's amazing the authority in a person who has legal responsibility. That's the authority to change our will, to do things that we're supposed to do because it's right. And Jesus comes and says, all authority has been given to me. I was looking up online today, a little play on words, Mao, dictator of China, versus the older dictator of China, Mao Zedong, versus my mom, right? Mao can make me do in China whatever he wants me to do because I'm petrified of the power that he's going to assert on me and the authority in that country. Mom, on the other hand, in her gentleness and humility and kindness, could change my will for a lifetime and make me do things that she wanted me to do because of her love for me and her gentleness and her kindness and her patience and her self-control, the fruit of the Spirit pouring out of my mom. We don't obey Jesus because we're afraid of the power he's going to exert on us. We obey him because of the authority and the love he has for us. So Jesus says to the boys, all authority in heaven on earth has been given to me. Mission impossible, I want you to go and make disciples of all nations. There was a moment where Jesus did give a little hint of his power just before he went to the cross. You remember? He's in front of 600 soldiers. And he says, who do you seek? It's dark. Judas is about to betray him. Who do you want? They said, we want Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus says, I am he. 600 soldiers fell on their back, did not know what hit them because of the power. And then he went to authority and he humbled himself and he let them take him to the cross. But those little bits of power should encourage you and me that if you're disappointed in the way government's working, the Ukraine war, sex trafficking. There's coming a day when Jesus will return in power, and he will say to the pain and the injustice and the cruelty, enough. But right now, all authority is given. You go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, that is a tall order. That's what I call Mission Impossible. How many nations have you brought to Jesus and baptized them in his name? That's impossible. What a tall order. Go. And when I was young and I went to a missionary college, I met people who literally, when they read go, they went to the uttermost parts of the earth to tell people about Jesus. I admire the missionaries. I could not be like them. I couldn't believe where they went and some of the experiences they had. Elizabeth Elliot is probably one of my favorite. Her husband, Jim, goes to the Oka tribe in, was that in Papua New Guinea, or where did she fly? Ecuador. I knew Ruth would know. Thanks, Ruth. Ecuador. And her husband flies in with a couple of people to do some missionary work, and they kill them, and it's a cannibal tribe, so they consume them. And you'd think that would be the end of the missionary zeal of Elizabeth Elliot. Well, she learned the language, she prayed, put a team together, and went back. And some 20, 30 years later, can you imagine? Communion, breaking bread, on the plane wing that they crashed on as a table with the people who consumed her husband. They were disciples. Sometimes the disciple-making process is really, really hard. And sometimes people don't want to be disciples. I remember not wanting to be discipled by one of my mentors. He was the big cook at the Bible school. His name was Peter Whitfield. And this man, statistically, I hate to break the news to you guys, girls, 10% of human beings, no matter what you do, will not like you. I tried to be Peter's friend. You know the people in here. There's people in here, my personality just kind of rubs you the wrong way. I get it. Peter made that really clear. I walked on the campus. He barely knew me. And I put my name Daniel, because that was on the passport. And he said my name like it was spelled D-E-Y-U-L, Daniel. And it was always a silent H with Peter. He'd go, Daniel on. Daniel on. He goes, Daniel on. Oh, I've seen guys like you come and go. Mostly go. That's how he greeted me every day. Thanks, champ. And then, of course, Rod Cook comes down from Little Mount Forest, Mr. Sweetheart. Everybody loved Rod. Jeez. If you're listening to this, Rod, you remember Peter Whitfield going strong, I think, in Australia. Sometimes the discipling is difficult, and God says, I want you to build relationship with people who don't like you, and maybe people who even hate you, and watch the miracle occur. I used to think you had to go somewhere to be a missionary until I looked up that little word, therefore go and make disciples. And it's actually three words in the Greek. It's not go, it's as you go. That's a bit different. Yesterday, as we made hamburgers, thanks, Mick, they were delicious. As we painted faces, did tricks, loved kids, vacuumed the stage, cleaned the windows. As you go, as you live and humbly serve, God will bring people here. I met a guy just this morning, looking for a church, just decided to come here. God's sending people here. It's absolutely beautiful. And as we go, we build relationship, we make disciples, and disciple making takes
decades. How many years did you teach that Bible study, Ruth? 36 years of faithful exegetical Bible teaching. It's intimidating having people like that around. You've got to really prepare your messages because they've read and studied the book. It's wonderful. But it takes a long time. And I had a lady in this church who's here right now. I don't want to embarrass her. But we were talking about the name of the church. And she said, I like the word Baptist in the church name. I go, why? She said, because I was part of a church that taught things that I didn't understand real well, and I was curious, so I went to Ruth's Bible study, and she taught me what it meant to have a relationship with Jesus and to follow him and to be a disciple. And that word Baptist is synonymous with that lady, and I want to keep the word in the name. I thought, wow, make disciples of all nations. Teach them. Baptize them. Yeah, baptize them, and we're going to do that in a second. Teach them to obey everything I've commanded. Ooh. My wife and I walk in downtown Oakville, and we watch all the people with the dogs, and we have this little contest. What's the most cute, lovable, wonderful dog that's obeying, and what's the ugly, nasty, unlovable dogs? And there's lots of those. Teaching to obey. Some people have a tough time teaching their dogs. Try to disciple all nations and teach them to obey what Jesus says. It's impossible. Teach people to obey everything in the book? An impossibility. That's why Jesus adds the line that we'll focus on in a moment. But baptism, Dave's going to come up in a little minute. Baptism I like to describe as a ring, a wedding ring. This ring does not change my relationship with my wife at all. What it does is it points to a greater reality of my friendship and my love for my wife. I'm hers, she's mine, one and only. When you enter into the water, Dave, in a moment, you're saying to this group of people, those online, to your family and out west, I'm his, he's mine, and I want a visible demonstration of that. That demonstrates baptism is a going into death with Jesus, dying to my sin, myself, and rising again to brand new life so I can walk with you and disciple others. I hope there's people in this room who decide, I haven't done that. I haven't put the ring on the finger to demonstrate to everybody that I belong to Jesus. We'll baptize you anytime you want. In fact, if you want to come to our little retreat at the end of the month in Muskoka, I'll baptize you in a lake outside. It'll be freezing, but that'll be really cool. If that's your style. This guy's nodding his head up here. Yeah, he's that's how you roll, eh, buddy? We'll put you in the dock, and I'll put you on the back of the boat, and we'll drag you around for a little bit after that. Just kidding. Baptism is a sign of a greater reality. When Jesus commissioned his disciples to go into the world, he said, I want you to start in Mount Forest, Ontario, Canada, outermost parts of the earth. Start where you are, making disciples. As you go, whatever you do, do it to the glory of God. And then he says this, just in case you're stressed, my friends. He says to the disciples, and surely, the King James, lo, absolutely, surely, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Paul gets to the end of his life, and he realizes, it's no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who died for me and arose again. He is faithful. He does the work. You wake up every morning, friends, here's my hands, my feet, my tongue, my ears. They're yours. Take them. Use them to be a blessing and to make disciples. Give me divine appointments with those people in the grocery line. You ever thought about that in the grocery line when you're irritated and you want to rush through the grocery line? I got a great idea. Go to the longest grocery line you can and make a friend and smile and take some time. Drive in the slow lane. Relax. Dial it down and take some time to pray while you're in the car and not rush where you got to get going. I don't know where we're all rushing to these days. Surely I'm with you, even to the end of the age. Dave, let's enter into baptism. I love when God's presence shows up in the Old Testament. You know, surely I'm with you always. Thanks, Rob. Daniel's in the lion's den, and it says God was with him in the lion's den, and he shut the lion's mouth. And then one of my favorite appearances of Jesus in the Old Testament is Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael. You know them as Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, or Shadrach, Meshach, your shack, or shake the bed, make the bed, in the bed you go. Their Hebrew names are Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael. And they have meanings and they're important, and we'll get to that in our study of Daniel. But when they get tossed in the fire, and Nebuchadnezzar says, "We'll see about your God. We'll see about the presence of your God, if he's with you always, even to the end." Throw him in the fire. And the fire was so hot that men actually passed away who threw them in. And then Nebuchadnezzar is astonished, and he's like, "Didn't we throw three people in the fire?" He's like, "I'm not a math guy, but I can count to four, and there's another presence, and it looks like a son of the gods. I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. I will take you through the fire, through the waters, through the storm." Great Savior. And Dave's life has had some storm and some fire and some pain. So let's open up to your passage so we know where you're going. And thank you, Dave, for your example and your courage to stand before us today and open that Bible, which is looking difficult.
Nervous.
And it's been a journey, and I just want you to just briefly explain, I think it's here, bro. I got it. What was life like before? Just before you came to a sense that I need to follow Jesus and love him and serve him.
My wife knows it too, all, but I experienced the world, and it was really bad. I did some bad things, drugs, alcohol, all that stuff. But I finally found, I finally found what I really need in life. It's Jesus Christ in my life. I know it.
And you went through some pain. You had some loss.
Yes, I have. I've experienced the loss of my son, Jacob. He was 21 years old, and he was out west working on the drag lines, and that's a total different industry in itself. And he got electrocuted setting up antennas, and that took a part of my heart right out of my body. I'll never forget it. You lose a son. It hurts you so bad, it takes part of your heart out. Now Jesus Christ has replaced that for me in loving him. And I hope that my son's in heaven with him.
It's a great hope.
Yes.
You had some struggles with alcohol, and you lost a huge bit of weight, and a little kid, just as we were talking about earlier, a little kid came up to you and said something that really meant a lot.
It's my grandson, Logan. He said, "Oh, don't worry about it. God will look after it." and I don't know where that come from. It was just amazing to me. Why would he come up with that, you know?
And then the desire for alcohol just kind of went away.
One day I was drinking. My wife tells me I'm an alcoholic, and I believe her now that I was at one point. But I walked into my basement and going to my refrigerator, and I said, I'm going to get, maybe today I'll get a vodka, 26er of vodka and six pack of beer. And then all of a sudden I just stood there, and I don't know what it was. I can't explain it. It has to be Jesus Christ. Because I just said, I don't feel like it. And then the next day come, I woke up, and I said, I don't feel like it again. I had no taste for it whatsoever. And now, a lot of people go to AA and all that stuff to overcome.
It's important.
I do not. I did not have to do that. I still don't like it. And
sometimes God just intervenes and changes your what we call your wanties.
I can't explain it. People ask me, how come you lost all that weight? I says, I know it myself. It's Jesus Christ that did it.
And your son, we know that you're, oh, hi, guys. I'm glad you're here. Perfect timing. We'll jump in the water in a bit. They're excited about the water part, I think. I hope my little rubber ducky's in there. Your son has had a pretty significant influence on you.
My son, Jason, yeah. He got me, we phone every day, and we talk about the Bible. If I don't know what a word means, I call him up, and he'll tell me, right? And he was helpful in me finding Jesus Christ in my life. But he was a major person that together we did. I went to church for the first time Baptist church out west, and because my son joined it, he's a deacon there now. And he helped me. I went to the Baptist church in Killam, Alberta, and it was really, the people there were just got to me and the whole thing, and that was the starting of my journey. I was there for 3 weeks, went to Bible study. I went to church three Sundays. And after I left then, my son gave me a Bible because I asked him, where do I get a Bible and all that stuff? So he gave me an illustrated Bible. This is a Bible I have in front of me right now. And then when I got back home, I started reading. And I wasn't too sure, and I didn't know who to go to, so I went to my son, naturally. And now, every day we talk scripture and about God.
And there's a verse that means a lot to you. You might want to read that.
Yeah. Because of your partnership in the gospel, from the first day until now, I am sure of this, that he who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ.
I love that. And we're sure that he's doing that work in you. And if you don't mind, I'd just like your son to maybe have a word with us so we can just turn and... The video quality is a bit rough.
This is Dave's son, Jason. I wish I could be with you all this morning to witness my dad's baptism. Pastor Dan was gracious enough to take care of all the technical aspects so that I could do a quick video. So thank you for that. What can I say? It's been one of the greatest blessings of my Christian walk to be able to witness the work that Jesus has done in my dad. I know that it's he who takes out our heart of stone and gives us a heart of flesh. And I am just so grateful that that my dad is taking that step today and accepting the truth and the reality of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And again, I just wish I could be there. One of the things that came up, has come up a lot in our conversations, and I think some of you maybe can relate, is this idea that we have to somehow get ourselves to a place in our life so that we can be acceptable to the Lord. And I want to share a verse that I think is really fitting. It's 1 Peter 3:21. Baptism now saves you, not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal of a good conscience towards God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Dad, as you take that step today, I want to let you know how proud I am of you and how much I love you. And just knowing that, you know, we don't have to perfect ourselves. We are perfected through the work, the finished work of Jesus. And to see you take that step and to know that you are taking that step is such a reassurance for me. It's actually a answer to my prayers. And again, I wish I could be there. God bless you. Love you.
So I told Dave he'd be bawling. So I got a little surprise for you. So
I knew you'd do that.
Well, it's it gets better because we got a few other people who want to say thank you as well, buddy. Thanks.
I love you, because you're so nice. I love you because you're so nice, and you love Jesus. I'm so happy you're getting baptized. Hopefully you have a good day, and praise Jesus. Mm-hmm.
I hope you have a wonderful baptism and the water isn't too cold.
Who's that smart, Alec?
Oh,
we'll get it.
Grandpa,
all right. Well, we have a song that our friend George picked out. Yeah, so we're going to transition to the tub and we're going to throw a little song up. And if any of you are considering baptism anywhere, anytime, we are happy to facilitate that for you. So follow me there, buddy, and let's get those tears dried.
My hands up to the Father, gave it all to Him that day, felt anew and kissed my face, walked away, eyes wide open, could finally see where I was going. It didn't matter the same man I was then. I got off track, I made mistakes, backslid my way into that place where souls get lost, lines get crossed, and the pain won't go away. I hit my knees, now here I stand, there I was, now here I am. That I could take it all back. I just want to tell him that. Tell him how I got off track. I made mistakes, backslid my way into that place where souls get lost, lines get crossed, and the pain won't go away.
Thanks, Kathy. You can save that to cut.